Good morning. It is Monday morning, and we need to look ahead at what's coming in the week, at least in terms of news. We're joined this morning by Jason Stallman, National Desk News Editor for our partner, The New York Times. Jason, do you have a word for this week?
Word or phrase? I think I'm going to go with GOP, IED, and MRI.
Oh, nice. Oh, man. Nice. And Charlie Herman, Economics Editor for The Takeaway and WNYC. Your word?
I'm giving a hyphenated wait and see.
Wait and see. All right. Well, let's start with the president. He left for Europe last night. He's on a six-day trip in Europe. We just talked a moment ago about his trip to his ancestral home of Monaghan, Ireland. But then he's going to head off to the UK. He goes to France and then Poland. And he's supposed to be talking a lot about the Middle East. Jason, do you think he's going to get kind of waylaid by economic pressures?
I think, you know, there'll certainly be some demand to speak to that. I think one of the more compelling issues confronting him will be with the G8 leaders in France. He'll be expected to address what is going on with this Arab Spring and what specifically the United States' role is in Libya and supporting the rebels there. You know, the rebels are demanding to be formally, officially recognized by countries like the United States. They haven't
been called
yet.
Rebels anymore.
Not be called rebels anymore. And, you know, what is at stake? At some point, if these rebels do gain control and seat Gaddafi and take control of the country, perhaps they'll be inclined to reward those countries that did officially recognize them all along.
Although, Charlie, it is very likely he's also going to be talking about sovereign debt and the IMF when he travels to Europe.
Yeah, I mean, if people talk about the debt situation here in this country, I mean, if you want to sort of see how it's playing out, you can look in Europe right now in terms of what a lot of the different countries there are trying to do to deal with their debt crisis. You have Greece and Ireland, which have already received huge packages from the IMF and from the EU. And they are still having a lot of problems dealing with it. Greece is undergoing another round of austerity measures. And as a result, they're starting to lose popularity. The government, as they're putting in these measures to try and get the economy under control, the government's losing support of the people. And we saw that in Spain this weekend, where the socialists were pretty much routed. And again, this is another country having debt problems, trying to solve its problem. So I think that when he meets with the G8, really the top focus will be, one of the things I think it'll be the top focus is actually what's happening in Europe with their debt situation. And this also points out why they need a leader from the IMF to tie it back to that.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get another one soon. But Jason, let's go back to the Middle East for just a second, because Iraq has to complicate the conversation over the Arab Spring that Obama is going to be having. There's been a wave of about 15 bombs exploded across Baghdad yesterday. Almost 2 dozen people were killed. The bloodshed in Iraq complicate this conversation?
Right. Yeah. You know, this morning on my way in, I was speaking with Michael Schmidt, a correspondent in our Baghdad bureau, and he said there's increasing concern throughout the country for this week specifically because there has been this uptick in explosions and death there. But on Thursday, the anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has called for peaceful protests throughout the country against this notion that the United States might have to maintain a military presence in Iraq beyond the end of the year. That was their scheduled close for Iraq. So he's ramping up the pressure to stave off that idea already. And, as Michael said, there's growing concern that there will only be more and more of these explosions to kind of incite the sectarian fracturing.
Which could, you know, ironically make the Americans more likely to stay.
Exactly.
All right. So, you know, we talked about sovereign debt as a motivator in the world economy. We talked about the IMF. And, of course, there's still domestic foreclosure problems. There's all kind of economic waves rippling around, right? But there's one ripple that has a name, and that is Oprah. And I don't think people realize what an effect that Oprah has on the economy. Perhaps, you know, remember the whole debacle over the beef? Her comments about beef and all the beef sales went down. I think that's kind of an indication of what an effect this woman has on the economy and what it may mean when her show goes off the air this Wednesday.
Yeah, there are a lot of other talk shows that are out there that try and duplicate what she does, but they haven't had the same sort of cultural and economic impact that I think hers does, especially when you look at the publishing industry. I think they're really going to miss having her out there.
Yeah, her book club.
Touting books and really pushing authors. There's also the publicists and the effect that they have by putting guests on her show. So, I mean, there really is not only the economic impact of her, but also what it says about the future of television. You have this huge star on broadcast network going to cable. You really have a total revamping of what's happening in daytime television with two soap operas being canceled. you just have a lot of change, and you have.
Well, and her channel's in a bit of a tailspin. There,
her channel's not.
It's
you know,
not having
they,
much of an.
They recently
impact.
Laid off. They recently laid off the person who was sort of running the channel, and then you have a lot of news anchors. You have Katie Couric and Anderson Cooper talking about creating daytime talk shows. So I mean, you're really kind of seeing a period of flux in the broadcast industry, and what that will be in the future is it's really not clear.
All right. Well,
wait and see.
But that's one economic indicator that we're unsure of, but we have others coming out this week. What do you think we're going to see this week?
Well, we're also getting reports on the economic growth of the country. It's expected to be up a little bit compared to the last report. But again, we're sort of in the situation where it's a bit of wait and see. Housing is really bad right now. It's still doing very bad. There's this shadow inventory. The New York Times had a big report about this today. This has been an ongoing problem with the number of homes that banks own that they have not sort of put out into the market that could push prices down. Energy costs are a little bit flat right now because the economy is not doing well. Maybe we're not driving as much, so maybe that's a good sign. Of course, what we talked about, Europe, all the problems there, the Federal Reserve ending its program. There's just a lot of things that are uncertain, and so going into the summer.
And we know investors love uncertainty.
Not a good time. So
one more thing happening this week, Jason, and we only have about a minute to talk about it, but it looks like Governor Peter Shumlin of Vermont is going to be able to do something that President Obama couldn't do, which is sign into law a single-payer healthcare system.
Right. It's happening rather quietly, which is a surprise. But on Thursday, the governor of Vermont is expected to sign this into law. It would make Vermont the first state in the country to have a single-payer healthcare system. And I suspect that it's going to attract a lot of attention. Pharmaceutical industry and some doctors are expected to come out in opposition of this. But others in the state say that it's necessary to deal with this massive burden that the healthcare program has become.
And could end up being a test case. People are going to be watching pretty closely to see how that works, whether it bring prices down or not.
Right, and you have to think that if it works for Vermont, other states will jump on board.
Jason Stallman, National Desk News Editor for the New York Times, and Charlie Herman, Economics Editor for the both Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.